Erev Tov. Today's Amud in Araisa. Yuma Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. Pei Dalet Beis. We reached the two dots around 10 lines down the top of the page. A little bit smaller than the prior. Not a small Amud, but smaller than the prior Amudim. Just to quickly go over Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. It was long, but it moved. The first topic we discussed was this Kelev Ra, this Kelev Angry Dog. We said, which is a Kelev Shait, actually, was Lush of the Mishnah. It had five symbols of being a Kelev Shaita. Its mouth drops, it drools, its long ears, its tail is sitting on resting on its leg. It walks to the side of its rose, and some say it also barks, and you don't hear the noise. And what happened? How does it come from? So we have two options. Rav says it comes from the Kishif, the women that do sorcery. They play with their sorcery, they practice on the dog, and it makes the dog this Kelev Shaita. Shmuel says it comes from a shade, and the Gemara seems to side with Shmuel. A nafkamina, whether it's a shade or whether it is because of the kishif, is if you get up close and personal, when you try and eliminate this dog, do you do it from a distance with an arrow or modern day with a gun, but stay far away? Or it's okay to, if you're up to it, come in close combat and potentially touch the dog. If it's a ruach ra, it's a shade, you don't want to get near it. If it's a kishif, then getting near it wouldn't be such an issue. And the Mara seems to go with that side, like Shmuel, that's a shade, because the Mara brings what happens if someone rubs against this animal. What should he do? Because he's besakana, he should immediately take off his clothing and throw it down. And if he gets bitten by it, he's even more besakana. He's destined for death. Unless we gave eitzes. If he rubs against it, he throws his clothing down. If he's bitten by it, then he could bring the skin of a male polecat, which we discussed is maybe something between a weasel, again, I made the same mistake last night. The Gemara calls it an apa. And an apa they teach as a polecat, but some teach it as a large weasel-like, animal. Some teach it as big as a hyena. But the article goes, a polecat, we'll stick with your article's interpretation. So he writes on the hide of a polecat, he writes the following, that I'm writing on this polecat's hide, Kanti Kanti Kliris, or Kanti Kanti Kliris, Ka Ka Hashem Tzvakeis, Amin, Amin Sela. Obviously, this is not some sort of a scientific remedy, it's some sort of metaphysical remedy. Okay, then he takes off his clothing that he's wearing when he was bitten by this Kelev Shaita, and he buries it. After a year, he burns it. During that year, you shouldn't drink directly from a cup. Rather, drink from a straw, because if you drink directly from a cup, we're scared there's going to be a reflection of the shade that's maybe has already entered him. See it in the cup, it'll make a problem. You should drink, therefore, from a straw. And then we discussed, now in the Mishnah, we had the illness of Tzaftina. Tzaftina, we said, was the illness of the mouth. And the concern is that the illness from the mouth will travel into the system, it's some sort of gum illness. We said gingivitis or perio something, itis. That's what the dentist told us last night. After the shiur, Noam told us from his father that it's actually, there's another name. It's not the same thing as what we described. Also an illness of the gums. It's called scurvy. And I checked it up afterwards online. Scurvy, exactly what it is. Usually comes from a vitamin C deficiency. Someone doesn't eat enough fruits and vegetables. The teeth start to get loose in the gums and they bleed easily, which fits very well with exactly what we're describing. The Gemara says, actually, that you put something in the mouth and it bleeds from the gums. That's the siman of tzeftina. That was the Gemara we had yesterday. And the remedy for tzeftina we had in the Mishnah, that one's allowed to do that remedy, put whatever the remedy is, we got to the Gemara, but one's allowed to apply that remedy on Shabbos. And we said, not just apply it, make the remedy on Shabbos. And that was according to Rav Masya ben Chayrish. That was a member of Rav Masya ben Chayrish. And Rabbi Yochanan followed in that member. And the problem was that the Chamargo honor Rav Masya ben Chayrish. Why did Rabbi Yochanan say you could do it? So before we get to that solution, the Gemara first brought Rabbi Yochanan got the remedy from a Matronusa. He tricked her into giving it to him. And he then released it to the public. And what was the remedy? The remedy, the different versions of it, was either yeast water with olive oil and salt, or yeast itself with olive oil and salt, or Rav Ashi said, it's actually the fat of the goose's wing, and you rub it, the way Rashi explains, on the person's temple. Abaye said, I tried all those remedies for the tzeftina, it didn't work. What worked for me for tzeftina was boiling this Arab merchant's aid, which is boiling up olive pits that did not grow. The olives didn't grow a third of their growth, boiling them up on top of a metal hoe, and then applying it to the gums. That was my remedy that ultimately worked. And what does it come from, the tzeftina? It comes from, we just said, if it's scurvy, it comes from vitamin C deficiency of fruits and vegetables. Gemara is a very different cause than eating hot wheat bread or fried fish baked in its oils, baked with some, maybe also some, like some breadcrumbs and left in overnight. And again, we said the symbol for it is if you put something in the mouth and it starts to bleed, that's the symbol for it. And finally, the Gemara discussed Rabbi Yochanan did this Eitzah because it's Pekuach Nefesh, but they asked, why is it so simple? Because the Eitzah Pekuach Nefesh, the Chachamim seemed to argue, it was Masseh Ben Charish's Eitzah in the Mishnah, the Chachamim don't agree to Masseh Ben Charish. And ultimately, we brought the Gemara that we don't, the jump right to the Maskana of Hanbeis, which is Rabbanan agree to that then. They argued on Masseh Ben Charish's first din in our Mishnah, which was that if one gets bitten by the Kelv Sheita, eat from the liver lobe of that Kelv Sheita. Our Tana of Mishnah says, we hold that's not a remedy that works, therefore you can't do it. Our Masseh Ben Charish holds it does work and you could do it. But Lagabi, the Safdina, that application of medicine for that, or making the medicine for that on Shabbos, Rabbanan agreed to have Masseh Ben Charish. And the Gemara ultimately brought, there's actually four dinim from our Masseh Ben Charish. Our Mishnah only brought two. Again, the Kelv Sheita that bites him, Chalila, bites a person, and the Tzavtina. There's two other cases, not brought in the Mishnah, which were discussed by Masseh Ben Charish. One was jaundice, Yerakin, and the other one was, we called it Quincy Mesirchani. And that was like some sort of abscess in the throat, in the mouth, where it gets like a pus bubble, similar to tonsillitis, but a little bit different. And Rav Moshe Ben Charish gave eitzahs for all those things, and the Rabbanan seemed to argue on most, but not all. And was saying, ultimately, the Rabbanan agreed to was the Tzavtina, that there is an eitzah for Tzavtina, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan was able to use that eitzah on Shabbos, even Michal Shabbos. Let's pick it up from the two dots on Pei Dalin Amud Beis. We're up to we're a couple lines before the lines get wide. It says in the Mishnah, it repeats, Meshesaf Nefashesu. So in the Mishnah, it said that you're able to apply an application of Tzavtina on Shabbos because of Saf Nefashes. And the Mishnah is a klal, anytime you have Saf Pekuch Nefesh, it's Zeicha Shabbos. That's very repetitive. You said you're able to do it because of Saf Pekuch Nefesh. And they say, anytime you have Saf Pekuch Nefesh, it's Zeicha Shabbos. You just said that. Why are you repeating again this Yisai? It says the Gemara. Lamli Sulamar Vichol Safak Nefashes, Techel Shabbos. Why have to repeat it? It's clear from the beginning of the Mishnah. A Safak Nefesh is not Vichol Shabbos. Amr Vidam Rav, Lay Safak Shabbos, Zubavan, Amr Elifi Safak Shabbos Acharis. What it means is, not only if it's a Safak of the guy's going to die in this Shabbos, even if the Shabbos we know will survive, but it's a Safak that he may die by the next Shabbos, you're Michal Shabbos. Yes, Gemara, that's also Pasha. If a guy is in a matzav of death, of potential death, they got to tend to him. So the fact that he's going to die today or die in a week from now, isn't it obvious? You tend to him on Shabbos, invite him to the Chiddush. Says Gemara, what's the case? What do you mean over here? We mean as follows. The remedy for his illness requires 8 straight days of taking the remedy. And they assessed him that he has this issue on Shabbos itself. So if we start today, you're going to have to be Michal Shabbos twice. Today and next Shabbos to tend to this ailment. If you start Matzah Shabbos, you eliminate yourself Michal one Shabbos, because you have to do 8 straight days, but at least you don't have to Michal this Shabbos. So maybe we wait. I would say maybe wait till Matzah Shabbos in order to start the treatment, in order that we don't wait. When it comes to Nefesh, and the person needs a remedy, it takes 8 days for the remedy, but even if we're potentially saying you could start it later or not such an issue, we don't take chances. We start it right away. We don't work on trying to minimize Chilul Shabbos in a case of Saf Pekuach Nefesh. Again, if doctors say that it makes absolutely no difference, start it later and it makes no difference, then presumably we would start it later. But if there's any shemitz of a doubt that it makes a difference, we're not going to wait. We're going to start it right away. Tanya Amihachim, we have a price that backs up this interpretation. Mecham lecham lecham b'Shabbos, you can heat up water, hot water for a person on Shabbos for two reasons. Bein lashkoyse, bein la'avreise. Either for the sick person to, we're talking about a sick person who's in a matzav of a pekuach nefesh. He heat up on Shabbos, mechal Shabbos, heat it up, either to give him to drink, lashkoyse, or bein la'avreise, or to bathe him in it, which also can strengthen him. And you find that very much by a katan, by doing a bris mila, by a newborn baby, they used to not do a bris unless they were able to have hot water warmed up. V'leiv Shabbos, v'vanamru, and not only they say this for a case of this Shabbos that he may die, that he desecrate this Shabbos, al Shabbos Acheres. Even if he may die on a future Shabbos, still, Yimachal, this Shabbos, even if it's, he may die on a future Shabbos, Avadi is still Michal already now. The Ain Aimrim Namkle Shabbos. I would say, let's wait, maybe he'll get a little better for the Shabbos, and it won't require full Shabbos. We don't take that chance. El Mechamel Yad, we heat up the water for him right away. Meisha Safik Nefashos Deichas Shabbos V'lo Yisafik Shabbos Zu Elafilu Safik Shabbos Acheres. A Safik Nefashos Deichas Shabbos, and not just a Safik that he's not going to live through this Shabbos. A Safik, even if we could assume safely, he will live through the Shabbos. But a Safik that whatever's bothering him will cause him to not make it through the next Shabbos. That alone is a reason we call this Shabbos. Venus Dvarim. There's a Gemara's going to say we're not going to have it today, but Gemara's going to discuss it in the next half. And I'm Pehe. One of the reasons why Yimachal Shabbos Pekuach Nefesh is because it's Mutav Yimachal a Shabbos. And let him have many more Shabbases. Be Michal one Shabbos in order to let him have many more Shabbases, right? So Agamar here, if you use that svara, Agamar is saying there's a happening to go backwards and say that b'michal this Shabbos, in order that he shouldn't die on a subsequent Shabbos, maybe the whole idea is b'michal one Shabbos, say many Shabbos, but chal this Shabbos and he may die on the next Shabbos, maybe not. Maybe that's the happening. Either way, the Gemara is saying you don't think that way. You b'michal the Shabbos, even if it's for potentially suffering the next Shabbos. And now the Bryce elaborates further. We don't do these matters through a guy. If they're gay with the lions or gay with MS. Either way, they didn't keep Torah mitzvahs the way they weren't as upstanding in Torah mitzvahs as the rest of Klal Yisrael. But we're saying you don't do it specifically ayde goy, nor ayde kusim, ela de gedali Yisrael. Gedali Yisrael doesn't mean what we typically attach gedali Yisrael. First of all, the gedali Yisrael back in the Gemara's time didn't mean what we call gedali Yisrael. It would mean the mefarnasim of the dar, like the leaders in, like, you know, the askanim, the biggest askanim. But either way, in this context, it doesn't mean that either. In this context, it means a regular male gadol. Mitzvah and mitzvahs, like the who has all the most mitzvahs, right? Nachrim, obviously, are mitzvahs. Kusim, maybe they're not even clear for the Gary Amos or not. Even Nashim don't have all the mitzvahs, as my grandma would say, but a regular gadol male Yisrael, that's the ones we get involved to save Pikuch Nefesh. And we don't say let them be done. They nashim, fulapikusim, no apikusim, amastar from the das acheres. But you are mastar from the das. What if we're not sure if it's pukun nefesh? We're not sure if it's a matter of life and death. We take in their opinions. We can take in their opinions to see whether it's life or death or not. But we don't specifically try to find them to be chal Shabbos. And what's this idea that we are machal Shabbos with the most mechuyev dika person, a regular male adult? What's and not goyim? Why not use goyim? So big discussion in the Rishonim. Why? Why would we go? By the way, we have kusim here twice. Some switch out the first kusim for ketanim. You don't like the nachrim, but like the ketanim. The first time they have ketanim instead of kusim, because we have, again, I mean, it's a separate thing. Le'al pikusim, right? We have a second time. So the first time they say is maybe the gir should be ketanim, the gain's girsa instead of kusim. Okay. But what does this mean over here that we're saying we dafki use a Yisrael, bar mechuyev mitzvahs, and not a guy? Why not? Why not a guy? So we have a few explanations. First of all, you have the Rosh and the Ran. And they explain that we're concerned that if you makbet to do it dafka idea guy or dafka idea cut, according to the gears that we're having, idea cut and the gears the guy's gears we're switching to, so we're scared that next time when it's you don't have a guy or a cut in handy, meaning what would be the obvious case? You have a pur nefesh, you need someone to call, to make a phone call, you need someone to go drive the car. A cut that probably can't drive a car, but you have a guy available, have him do the melacha Shabbos instead of the yid. But next time you don't have a guy available, people are going to say, no, last time we asked the story, we waited for the guy. We have to get a guy. And the guy's going to die. We don't want people to make a mistake, a misnomer, that you need to have a guy for Pekur Nefesh. Because Pekur Nefesh, you don't need to do a Mir Lakram. You don't need a guy. On the contrary, you don't wait for a guy 1 minute if it can affect, 1 second if it can affect a person's life. So therefore, you don't even use a guy. We prefer not to use a guy, even when you can, in order that people shouldn't make such a mistake down the road. Unbelievable. That's the Ran and the Rush is Svara. Taisha says more simple, and there's apparently a Rambam like this as well, that we were scared that Goyim don't have the same Erech for life as Yidden. Yidden have an Erech for Shabbos, they have an esteem for Shabbos, and they esteem for life. Life is precious, right? Even end of life stories, look at the difference between Yidden's approach and the Goyish approach. Yidden have a higher esteem for life, and therefore we don't want to leave it in the hands of a Goy because we think the Yid will take better care, and a guy won't take as good care. That's very relevant. A couple of shuvas from Moshe Feinstein that we'll get back there in a second. It is a third pshat for the Shilta Gebarim, and he argues and says, no, we're talking about a case specifically. He says, dafka, where the amount of time it takes to get a guy will be detrimental to the patient, to the person who's ill. That's where you don't get a guy. But says Shilta Gebarim, avada, if all things being equal, you would get a guy. Why would you have a yid b'mechal Shabbos if you have a guy do it? And therefore, you would get a guy. So he just says, you don't do a day nachrim, meaning if it takes an extra second. But if it doesn't take an extra second, or if it could take an extra second, but the doctors say, that's not a problem. He just needs to be in the hospital within the next 12 hours. But the extra second's not going to matter. Then avad, according to Shilta Gebarim, you get a guy. According to Taisus, the Rush, and the Ran, Rambam, you wouldn't get a guy. Okay, so the shaila is, it comes up with Hatzalah. There's a big shaila with Hatzalah. The Rishon Feinstein, Hatzalah, has multiple chuvas on this. It comes with Hatzalah about having Goyim being involved in the process. So with regard to being involved with the tending to the chayil itself, it seemed it was clear. The understanding was that the yid is more takes it more seriously, and therefore that itself is a maila, and therefore you wouldn't have a guy involved. You wouldn't have a guy involved. But what about driving the car, driving the ambulance to the hospital? Does it make a difference? Guy or yid? So I mentioned earlier, tshuva writes the chayil should the guy drive because that lechayil won't make a difference. It won't make a difference. The guy could drive the same driving. The yid's involved. You're not going to make a mistake. The Ran and Rush's issue that you have to use guy for chayil Shabbos, not yidden, because you see yidden are doing the whatever acts have to be done, whatever machinery, whatever needs to be done in the back of the ambulance, Yidden are actively involved, so no one's going to make that mistake. And the issue that the Yid takes better care, also not an issue because the Yidden are taking care of him. And the driving, the assumption is the guy does the same driving as the Yid, not a problem. Then Rav Moshe writes in a later tshuva, it was brought to his attention that the Yiddish drivers, they go faster. They go faster than more Varash, they take it more seriously. They go faster, that's all the cars go faster than the hospital than the guy's drivers. So he said, if that's the case, then you gotta have this driver too. However, maybe you should have a guy there in order that the guy should at least park the ambulance. Just to park the ambulance, because why do an extra malach? You don't have to do. Maybe a guy present that he can take over the parking. It came out, it may not be so simple legally, and then it came out that ultimately it told Rav Moshe Feinstein, this writes in the Tshuvas, unbelievable, that there are certain things that the guy may not do. I don't want to incriminate ourselves, but may not do in you know, the certain things only doctors are allowed to do, and people, even EMTs or people in kind of first aid, life-saving scenarios, unless they have certain licenses, may not be able to do. But they could be life and death. And if you have someone who is more focused on following exactly the rules and regulations, it can limit that ability to save a person's life. And therefore, it's all the better to have just Yidden on the truck, if possible, just Yidden on the Hatzalah car, and without incriminating anybody, better to have just Yidden. And therefore, he said, based on the information that he has, it's taka l'chatchila to have only Yidden on the car. If it works for the guy and it doesn't set you back, I'm about to have the guy there. But if it sets you back in any way, you don't get to have a guy involved, exactly like our Gemara, because it could be, if it's any detriment at all, the guy doesn't get involved. Okay, Tanabon. Mefach b'chun nefesh b'Shabbos, we deal with matters b'chun nefesh on Shabbos, and we mechal Shabbos if need be, v'az zaris b'ezim b'shubach, and the zaris, one who's fast to do this, is b'shubach, meaning he doesn't go ask the Rav Shaila, what should I do? There's actually, I forgot who said, I think Rav Shaila says this. Any person who gets a Shaila, any Rav gets a Shaila from his Kila, whether or not they should be mechal Shabbos b'chun nefesh, means he failed as a Rav. That should be something that the Kila knows. They don't have to ask him. Pur Nefesh, Deich Shabbos. Everyone has to know this. It's basically the second they're asking you as the Rav, that means you as the Rav, you didn't do, in this regard, your job, because the Kila has to know Pur Nefesh, of course, Deich Shabbos. So Azariz, Arezim Meshubach, the fast you move is Meshubach. Ve'ein, Tzarech Lita Rishus, Mebezin. You know, it's going to get Rishus from Bezin. Ha, Ketza. We need four examples. The Rav has 24 examples, but it moves rather quickly. Says Gemara, Ha, Ketza. Example number one. Ruat Tenech Shafli Nebuch, he sees a child that fell into the water, into the sea. He spreads his net. There's a fisherman who has his net there, and he can use the net to save the child. He spreads his net, but net is also trapping fish on Shabbos. He spreads his net, which is Malacha Deraisa. Spreads his net, brings up the child. And the faster he does it, the more b'shubach it is, and he needs to get permission from the court. And then we're saying, even though he is trapping fish, still not a problem. It's a Malacha Deraisa to trap fish, and even though he's trapping fish, it's not a problem. The Mara is explaining that even though we said you don't have to get rishus, why are we repeating it again? Because we come to say that even though he's trapping fish and he's doing it for the trapping fish as a benefit for him, therefore it's not a problem. There's a fundamental machlokes rishonim. Could he have intent to trap fish? Could he have a mind? Listen, he's cool under pressure. Obviously, saving this kid's life is by far the most important thing on his mind. But he also chaps, if he spreads the net into the water, there's a good chance he's going to catch some fish. So could he have a mind to trap the fish? Well, no. He has to have a mind to only be saving the child. That's his intent. And if he happens to get fish, he gets fish. It's a machlokes rishonim. Some say he could have a mind. Others say he's not allowed to have a mind. Kulam lepligi, even if he did have a mind, he's not over Mechil Shabbos to race. He's not over the Malacha, because he was doing an act of saving a child. So that's a question. He's not over the Isser, but was he supposed to kind of block that out of his mind and not think about that in the first place? Or is it okay to think about that? That's a machlokes between the Ran, between the Meiri and the Lecha Mishnah versus the Ran. Ran says that he's allowed to have specific intent to catch fish, and Meiri and Lecha Mishnah argue and say he should have intent. We're going to see the next Gemara is going to be very relevant to this Machlekes, the Lashon in the next Gemara, two Gemaras for now. Next case, Ruat Tinnik Shef Labar. He saw a Tinnik fall into a pit, and you got to get the Tinnik out of the pit eventually, or it's going to be dangerous for Nefesh. He can remove a rim around the pit, basically build, make a step into the pit, and remove the leaf of the child. And he's doing a Malach HaShabbos of building a step. Vazariz Arizim Meshubach. And when does Zariz do it quickly? He's Meshubach, he's praiseworthy. And he need not get permission from Bezin to be doing this. Says Emara, Afagav, what's the Chiddush in this extra line that he doesn't get Rishos? Afagav, the Masakin, arguably is making a step, which is the Machon, the Rice, the Shabbos. He should do it. Next case, Rosh, and then all the Tinnik, he sees the door closed in front of the Tinnik, the child's locked in a room, and the Miri says, was scared that it's Kukun Nefesh, the child could die, Machmas fear. Unbelievable Miri. The child could die, Machmas fear. Machmasfir, you think something dangerous to happen, he's alone in the room, he can die Machmasfir. Shevra, he breaks down the door, takes the child out, and the one who's faster he does it is more praiseworthy. He doesn't have to get Rishus from Bezdin. Here's key words coming up, according to Argyusa, Viafa Gavta Kamechavin, lemitvash b'shifi. He wants the broken pieces of wood to start for firewood. Lashon of mechaven, even though he's mechaven. That goes back to our machlokes. We just said a couple lines ago in the Ran versus Lecha Mishnah and the I forgot who we said it from. Lecha Mishnah and the Meiri. That Ran says, once you're doing a life-saving act, even if you have in mind a benefit for yourself as well, it's all good. It's okay. You're allowed to do that. And Meir Lecha Mishnah said, you can't have in mind the benefit of trapping the fish for yourself. It has to be, your intent is only for the child. If you get fish, you get a fish, but your intent is for the child. Well, here we see very clearly, the Gemara, according to our Girsa, is mechavin for making firewood. That's which is the malacha, making himself, breaking down some wood for firewood on Shabbos. It's a malacha, and we're saying you can mechavin. Well, guess what? The Rush and the Rift don't have the Girsa. They don't have the word mechavin. If you look at the Girsa, the Rush and the Rift, they take it out, which fits very well. The Meiri and Lecha Mishnah obviously have the Girsa, like the Rough and the Rush and the Rift. The Ran, obviously, would stick with the Girsa. We have an Argamar. Okay, Gebaldik. Mechabnav seeking a fourth story. So again, we had the child falling into the sea Nebuch, child falling into the pit, child being locked in a room. And last case, Mechabnav seeking a lake of Shabbos. You can extinguish or block the way of a lake on Shabbos. By the way, how do you block the way? Interesting, you take Kalim. You don't just take Kalim. You take Kalim, Rashi explains, they're full of water. And when they burst, the water will serve as a, it's kind of like a grumma, it's part of the fire. But anyway, you got to do that. And the faster you do it is Meshubach Toma when there's Puv Nefesh there. Even though that's possible that Ayadei is putting down the fire, he's going to make himself a nice mat of coals that for his Matzah Shabbos barbecue, he has a beautiful now coals ready to go. So it could be a benefit, that kibbutz could be a benefit, doesn't matter. It's the Machu Dereza, he's saving someone's life, and therefore it's okay. There is a big discussion. What's the chiddush of putting down the, you know, to put out the fire itself, we get. That's a chiddush. That's melacha d'oraisa, potentially. But to put pails of water there that only puts out the fire, al yedei grama, then how is that a chiddush? So some discuss that the case is where he's carrying the pails, derech rishus rabim. He's being over on haitza. The Mar didn't say that. He's being over on haitza. That's melacha d'oraisa. He's being over on haitza, carrying the pails, derech rishus rabim. That's the chiddush. He's allowed to do that even though he's over and itself, and Achami, the pails bursting and indirectly causing the fire to go out is not more of a chiddush than putting out the fire directly. So that's not that the chiddush is the Eitzah element. Okay, says more of a tweak. We need all four cases. Why? If the first case of the child falls into the yam, we're telling you, don't wait. Don't go to the Bezdin to save right away. Of course, because you know where the child is right now. You saw him fall in. You wait. Who knows where the sea is going to take the child? Nebuch. Mishum da'atachivachi azlei. You won't be able to find the child by the time you come back from Yishayla. Av a bar, but a bar, unfortunately, the child is stuck in the bar. He's not going anywhere. So the kiyas, if he's sitting there, maybe you have to go ask Yishayla. Even they don't have to ask the child. The child is extremely frightened in the bar, and it's you can't calm him down in the bar. If the door is locked behind the child, it literally means you play with his. You play with. They used to play with instead of playing with like we play today with a baseball or a basketball or a hockey, whatever it may be, or toys. They used to play with nuts. Nuts was a game. So Amguzi is like nuts. I don't know how on the other side of the door you're going to play with him. Or maybe you're going to tell him about the game of nuts that you're playing. You're going to basically talk him. He's on the other side of the door. You could talk to him out of his fear. So maybe in the bar where his mom is frightened and he's low down and you can't really converse with him, over there you rescue him right away and you don't ask the child. But maybe on the other side of the door, you wait till someone goes and ask the child if you can break down the door. And in the interim, you talk to the child. You keep him calm. Kamashvulan, you don't have to wait. Tzricha. Therefore, it's kind of, you have to tell me that you don't have to wait. You can break down the door right away. And by the fire, mechabim v'sikin, lomu v'sachidish afiyu b'chazacheres. Let's say everyone in this chutzner is protected. They evacuated. The chutz is empty. So you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save the house, to save the building, unfortunately. You can't do that. So maybe you'd say that if this chutz is evacuated, you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. If there's a danger of the chutz next door, back in the old towns, one house clearly went on fire, it would end up being, you know, a row of houses went on fire. It was dangerous. Chutzer to chutzer, that alone, if there's a concern for kunefesh, even the nearby chutzer, that alone is also grounds to take down, to put out the fire. Amar b'yaseh Rabbi Damash, well, this is going to take us, this idea is going to take us to the end of the Amid, onto tomorrow's Amid. Lehochu b'kuch nefesh achar rave. The Chum didn't follow rave when it comes to being Mechal Shabbos. For b'kuch nefesh, they didn't go baser rave. Normally, you go baser rave. Over here, we go even baser miyat, which means, the simple understanding is, we're not sure if the guy's a yid or a guy. You don't say rave people are a guy, and therefore we don't save the guy's life. You don't go baser rave. L'chor, you assume even with the miyat, you're going to be Mechal Shabbos to save victim's not the right word, this person who's in danger, even though Api Rav is a guy, that seems to be the simple idea, understanding of his ruling. The Mark explains, hey, what's the case? If there's nine yid in there, and one guy amongst them, and a building collapsed, and you're not sure who's the building that collapsed on one of them, and they're covered. And you're not sure if it's a Yid or a guy. Well, Rabbi Sonnen knew, in that case, Rav them Yidin anyway, so of course you have to assume it's a Yid. Inami, even if it's Palga, Palga, this is a famous cloud. Even if it's 50-50, five Yid and five Gayim, seven Fashal Hakel. Again, this idea is the simple 50-50 Safik, seven Fashal Hakel. So of course, we had that in our mission already, you're going to Michal Shabbos. Ella, here's this major Chiddush, Dikatisha Kusim Yisrael Echad. There's nine Gayim and one Yid in a group. And the building, the wall falls, and one of them is submerged under the wall. You're not sure if it was, you know there's one Yid amongst them, you know who is the one the wall fell on. You go on your Michal Shabbos to dig out that person, even though the chances are 1 in 10. Gemara says, that's not a Chiddush. Why? Hanami Pshit, it's Pasha. This is the custom that comes up often, comes up in Ksuvas, comes up in other places, in Shas. It's Kavua, and Kol Kavua is Kemechza Mechza. The Gemara brings elsewhere, it brings sources for this, based on a psukim, that anything which is good with mechza mechza, meaning, we know the famous story, Gemara, of 10 stores, 9 sell treif meat, or 9 sell kosher meat, let's say, and 1 sells treif meat. And a guy goes in and buys from one of the stores, not knowing, he thinks the whole strip is kosher. And he goes in, he went into a bunch of stores, bought meat, he's not sure where this meat came from. He's not sure if it came from which store, to figure out if it's a kosher store or not. Halacha is that it's not a, you don't say it's kosher because 9 out of 10 stores are kosher. Since he went to the Makom Kavua, where the meat was, where the stores were stationary, he went to the Makom Kavua, we say it's a 50-50 Safek. Only one non-kosher store, non-kosher, 50-50 Safek. It's based on a drasha. Logically, I don't think we can come up with any real explanation. It's based on a drasha kasav, and we say that's 50-50. If it's parish, that means if you find the meat outside all the stores, so you didn't go into the store to get it. You found the meat outside the stores. So it was parish. Then we have the famous klal called the parish, Murba parish. Then you can go based on right. That's the klal. You go based on right. But only when it's parish from the original. But if it's stationary in its original status, 50-50. So what was our chiddush? One yid with 10 gayim in his place, and a wall falls down on near them, and one guy gets submerged. We can bechal Shabbos, even though 9 out of 10 chances are that's not a yid, that's not the yid underneath. That's the classic case of kol kavu kamech zemech. It's like 50-50, and 50-50 seven fashas. Of course, bechal Shabbos. Viter, what's the chiddush? That's the most question. Answer the Gemara leitzricha. The parish the chutzar acheres. The case is where they left. They were parish. They left the original chutzar. You had 9 gayim, 1 yid in chutzar A, and they left the chutzar B. They were leaving the chutzar B. They went from the fixed place to go to different chutzar, and one of them, as they left the binyan, the new courtyard, one of the walls fell on top of him. Malatim called the parish. This taka did. We have called the parish, Murba parish. You go based on Rav, and if we'd say that since 9 out of 10 are goyim, you could assume the wall fell on a guy, and you know, Michal Shabbos, Kamash Malan, that's the chiddush. You don't go based on Rav, you still do Pikuach Nefesh and Michal Shabbos, even Mesafik, by Pikuach Nefesh, even in a 10% chance. Ain't he? Said a second, but it's not true. For Rav Asi, Amr Bechon, and Tishkus, and Visal Echon, if you have 9 goyim taka, 1 yid, but Isa Chatzer, Mefachin, if they're still in the original chatzer, we have Kokovu Mechza Mechza, Yitaka Armachal Shabbos. Abachatzer has Imfachin. If they went to different chatz, they'll perish. Yitaka Armachach, because we don't even know if it's the Yid there. Alpi Rav, it's not the Yid that the felon in the second chatzer, and therefore not Machal Shabbos. Mar says, you're right. Lekasha, Hada Parsh Kulu, Hada Parsh Mitzayu. Shmuel's Psak, that he's so clear, is when they all left. If they all went from the first courtyard to the second courtyard, even though they have a status, a shtick like parish, since they all went to the new courtyard, we still have that din that we know for sure yid's amongst them. It's muchsak the Yisrael there. We're not going to go based on Raif, and we're going to say Yimichal Shabbos. But if only some of them left, you don't even know if there was a yid that's in that second courtyard. Forget about the fact that it was a miyat. There was only 10% of the people there were yidin. Only 10%, 1 in 10 was yid. But we don't know if the yid made it from courtyard 1 to courtyard 2. So it's a suffix if a yid was there in the first place. You have Rav Gayim. Suffix if a yid was even there. Bechlal, suffix that over there. That's when Shmuel would agree that Parsh would say, we're not going to be Michal Shabbos. Murna is going to ask if Shmuel Taka says that you don't follow the Rav when it comes to a nefesh. We'll leave that mitzvah for tomorrow. Have a wonderful